I'd like to read from John chapter 14. Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen the Father has seen me. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Amen. The Lord bless his word. Amen. To our hearts today. I want to talk for a little while this afternoon on the subject of heaven. Heaven. Ken Gott used to say, "Who wants to go to heaven?" Right. Put your hand up. Yeah. "And who wants to go today?" And heaven. I've been a Christian for over 60 years, and I've been preaching for about 40 years, but until recently, until this message, I've never actually preached a sermon on heaven. And I've often referred to heaven, of course, especially at funerals and things like that, but I've never actually looked at the scriptures and tried to do a study on the subject of heaven. And there are probably several reasons for that. The first is that the Bible doesn't actually tell us much detail about heaven. It doesn't give us a lot of facts. It talks about heaven, of course, and refers to it, but it doesn't give us a great deal of facts. And the facts that we do have, or the information that we have about heaven, especially what John wrote and saw in Revelation, it's so kind of symbolic and kind of picturesque language that it lends itself to lots of speculation. And I don't like preaching on speculation. I like to have facts that you can stick to and stick with. Because once you go down the road of speculation, it can be very exciting and wonderful at times. But it could be totally wrong in the end. So it's a bit unwise to go down that road. And another reason why I haven't spoken about heaven before is because when I was growing up, and like most of you, in the middle of the last century, we sang a lot about heaven. In the 50s, I can remember back to 1950, and in Christian circles then, there were lots and lots of songs about heaven. We sang a great deal. We used to sing a song, "I have a mansion just over the hilltop." Do you remember, Ken? Yeah. "In that bright land where we'll never grow old, and someday yonder I'll never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as gold." And there were loads of songs about heaven. Now, lots of those songs, obviously, there was a lot of sentimentality in the songs. And again, so that lends itself to sort of kind of speculation rather than fact. But there were great songs. Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Remember that one? And lay up treasure in heaven. Life will pass away. Lay up treasure in abundant measure for the great accounting day. Now, there were good reasons why we sang more about heaven then than we do now. And one of the reasons is that nowadays we are a lot better off materially than we were 50 years ago. And when people haven't got much in this world in material goods, they tend to think of the next world. They tend to think of heaven. They tend to look forward to heaven. But the more stuff we have here, the less we tend to think about heaven, because we have to go into leave. Oh, pardon me, all the stuff we have to leave behind. And lots of folks are probably saying, well, I'm looking forward to going to heaven, but I don't want to go just yet. I want to hang on here for a while. Of course, lots of the songs that we sang about heaven came out of an earlier generation. A lot of them were the sort of Negro spirituals, and where the slaves in America sang a great deal about heaven. It was the place of freedom, and it was the place where they would be free and all. And so lots of the older songs came out of that kind of era. Right. But nevertheless, heaven's a good subject to talk about. And the reason I'm talking about it now or this year, a thing that got me going along this line, is that this year, I've done more funerals than I have for 2 or 3 years, and I'm still taking bookings, if anybody's interested. But several, as many of you know, the older saints that have been with us for a long time, this year they've gone to be with heaven. Sadie and John and a number of folks in Berkeley that some of you wouldn't know, but they've gone to be with the Lord. And we rejoice that they've gone to be with the Lord, but we still miss them. And it sort of made me think a little bit more about heaven and what it's like and what it's going to be there. So those are just some of the reasons about heaven. But today, I want to focus mainly on what Jesus said about heaven. It's a good starting point for any study in any subject if we look at what Jesus said about the subject, and especially in this subject, because Jesus is the only man who ever has been to heaven and come back to tell us a little bit of what it's about. And that's why we read from John 14. Now, the first thing, that point that I want to make is this, that heaven is a real physical place. It's a real place. Jesus said, in my Father's house there are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you. The literal interpretation of that is, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places, and I go to prepare a place for you. Now, if language means anything, that means that Jesus was talking about a real place. He said, my Father's house or my Father's abode, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, not an airy fairy something. I'm going to prepare a place for you, a real place. So heaven is a real place. Now, the AV translation of John 14, as most of you will know, translates this and says, in my Father's house there are many mansions. Now, the actual Greek does not imply that that heaven is filled with what we term mansions, huge big places. The word simply means abodes or dwelling places. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. And on the other side of that, the term, when Jesus talks about my Father's house, you know, in Jesus' day, what he meant by a house is not kind of what we normally mean by a house. You see, I live at 14 Kelso Close, and that means there's 14 houses in our little street, and there's somebody next door, somebody across the street, and the houses are joined together, etc. But In Jesus' day, and indeed in many parts, certainly all the rural parts of the world today, people didn't live in blocks of houses or blocks of flats. They lived in sort of compounds. And I was just talking to Sylvia earlier because I use this as an illustration. I remember being in Togo, and Sylvia and Jan took us to visit, I think it was where they used to stay, they stayed in that, in this village. And it was a, I don't know whether he was the head man of the village, but anyhow, it was a family compound. So they had a wall around it. And it was probably, I don't know what size, it was three or four times the size of this room at least, maybe bigger. But within the compound, then the boss man, the head of the family, the father figure, he had his own hut where he lived, and he was a gentleman who had several wives, so each wife had her own hut, and where she lived with her children, her own children. And some of the children, I think, had grown up, and as they became adults, in turn, they had a hut of their own. So in the compound, there were a number of huts or dwelling places. And that's the kind of concept that Jesus was talking about here. In my Father's dwelling place or compound or estate, if you want to, there are many dwelling places. And he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, Betty. He's already preparing a place for you. And I don't know whether they'll have a sign outside saying Betty's house or whatever it will be. But he is preparing, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So heaven is a real place, but of course we don't know where it is. We shouldn't be too concerned about that, because scientists tell us that our galaxy is made up of millions of stars. And they also tell us that there are millions of other galaxies. I read something in the paper recently how, you know, because of the, is it the Hubble telescope? They've actually got telescopes in space that can look huge distances that aren't hindered by the pollution in the air and all that kind of stuff. And they're constantly discovering new stars. Millions and millions, and there's billions. Now, there's plenty of room for a place called heaven out there. I don't know where it is, and I'm not worried where it is, but it's a real place out there somewhere, and a place where you and I are going to be. The point that I'm making in saying that it's a place, a real place, is just to emphasize that it's not just a spiritual entity. You see, there's a spiritual world that's all around us now. There are spiritual beings in this room, apart from our own spirits, because the spiritual world is real, but it's not visible, it's not physical, it's not, so there's angelic beings and there's demonic spirits around. We needn't worry about those, because the Spirit of God in us is greater than all the other things that are around about us. But heaven isn't just a spiritual entity where spirits live, it's a physical place, a real physical place. Now, I want to go on to just define what I'm taught mean about heaven. Now, you might think, well, we don't need to define it, but I just want to clarify what I mean by the term heaven, because there's one or two things that we might not be aware of. The Bible uses the term heaven basically in two ways, and we still do that. It talks about, the psalmist said, the heavens declare your glory. And he was talking about the sky and the star and the moon and all the visible universe from what we see it, that declares the glory of the Lord. In Jewish, and then the second thing is that heaven, the same word is used to describe what we're talking about today, which is the dwelling place of God, the abode. In my Father's house, there are many abodes, in my Father's dwelling place. Heaven is the place where God lives, Jesus lives, and where the heavenly hosts are based. In a way, it is the sort of command center of the universe, where God lives, the angelic hosts live, and where all the departed saints who've left us are there as well at the present time. That's where they are, those who've known the Lord from Adam onwards who've served the Lord have gone to be with him. And Jesus said, I'm going there, but I'm coming back and I'll take you to be with me where I am. Now sometimes I've heard sermons preached on that and using it about the second coming of Christ. I don't think Jesus was talking about the second coming in John 14. Because if he did, he didn't fulfill his promise because he didn't come back and take those disciples. But I think he was talking about when he comes to take us home to be with him.
Yes.
He says, I'll come back and take you to be with me where I am as he comes for us when we die. So I'm going to prepare a place for you. So heaven is the heavens, and then there's the dwelling place of God. And in Matthew 6, where Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he said, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's where the dwelling place of God, where all the heavenly hosts are based, and where the saints are the friends who have gone to be with Christ are there with the Lord at present. Now, I say at present because the saints who are in heaven are not yet in their permanent estate, if you want to put it that way. Because the Bible also talks about a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And the people who are in heaven, their spirit and their soul is there, but their bodies have been burned up in the creme, or they're buried somewhere here on earth. And one day they will have a new body to go with the spirit and soul, but they haven't got it yet. Because we will only get our new bodies when Jesus comes back again. So the saints who are in heaven at the moment, it's their present dwelling place, what they are at present, but there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we can't even begin to imagine. It might be that throughout eternity, we'll actually spend our life and our time back here on a new earth. It'll be a perfect earth, but it will be a new earth. So the saints who are in heaven at the moment, they are there, their spirit and soul are there, but one day they will have a resurrected body. The theologians call that our glorification, when our spirits and souls are reunited with that new resurrected body, the same kind of body that Jesus had after his resurrection. And maybe one day we'll talk about that, because it's a fascinating subject to look at what kind of body we're going to get. It's going to be a good one. A good one, and it'll be great. So heaven is a real place filled with real people and all the heavenly hosts of God, as well as being the control room of the universe where the throne of God is situated. Third point I want to make is this. We can lay up treasure in heaven, Jesus said, talking about what Jesus said, when we're here on earth. Now you know, and I know, that we can't take anything with us. You know, there are many proverbs which are very good, or sayings, no pockets in the shroud. It all goes in the box. We cannot take anything with us. I'm sure I told you the story about the guy who, this very rich man who was a Christian, and he wanted to take some of his stuff with him to heaven. So he asked the Lord if he could have special permission to take some of his valuables to heaven. And so the Lord gave him permission. He said, you can take two suitcases full of whatever you like. And he went out and he bought two of the biggest suitcases he could find and filled them with gold bars. And eventually he dies and he turns up outside the gate with his heavy suitcases. St. Peter comes to the gate. This isn't really biblically true, you know that. St. Peter comes to the gate and he says, I want to come in. And Peter says, well, you can't take anything in here. Oh, he said, but I've had special permission from the Lord to take two suitcases in. And Peter says, well, I'll have to go and find out. I'll have to go and check that out. So he goes off, he checked it out, he comes back and says, yes, the Lord says he's given you permission to bring two suitcases in, but he says, I have to check what's in the suitcases. So he opens up the suitcase and there's all these gold bars. Peter looked at him, he said, you brought paving stones? You see, we cannot take anything with us from here, but we can send stuff on ahead. Isn't that marvelous? Jesus said that. I'm not just saying that. He said, we don't lay up treasure on earth where moth and rust corrupt, but lay up treasure in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. So you can have be laying up treasure in heaven. Now, the only problem about, well, probably several problems, but the problem with that is, you see, I've got this, what they call online banking. I can go on the computer and see how much is in my account. Well, I can't do that about heaven. It's not online. And I don't know, but the big question is, you know, how do we lay up treasure in heaven? How do we do it? How does that actually happen or actually work? Well, Jesus tells us. He gives us in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, let's just read a few verses there. He gives us some ideas, some things. Be careful, he says, not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And he goes on to say the same thing about prayer. He says, don't be praying on the street corners to show off. Go into the secret room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you, openly. He says, same thing about fasting. So if we want to lay up treasure in heaven, one of the ways that we can do that is to do things that are good or help others, but not in the not in order to be seen or to be. He said, "Those who do it on the street corners, they have their reward in full. Their reward is well, in some cases, being thought a lot of by people. Think, oh, that's a very holy man there praying on the street corner. Is that's all the reward they're going to get? But if you go into your secret place and talk to God in secret, God will reward you. So." One of the ways of laying up treasure in heaven is to pray in secret, do good things without letting anybody know, or without doing it in reality with the right motive. Later in Mark 9, verse 41, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of cold water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. Giving a cup of cold water to somebody just because they're a Christian, or even if they're not a Christian, doing good, just doing something, not because you have to do it, because it's the right thing to do, is laying up a reward in heaven. In Matthew 25, do you remember the story of the parable of the sheep and the goats? Jesus told the story about when he says, when at the end, when the God shall gather the nations together, he'll say to those in his right hand, come in, blessed are the Father. He says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you visited me. I was sick and you came to me. And they said, Lord, when on earth? We never did that. And Jesus said, inasmuch as you did it unto the one of the least of these, you did it unto me. Now that's an amazing thing. You see, we can lay up treasure in heaven simply by doing the good things, the right things in the right way, without any thought of, you know, aren't I good doing this, or people will think well of me. All of that is we're laying up treasure. Just to do, whatever we do to one of the least of these, you do it unto me. That is an amazing thing. Now, most of us, Jesus said, Jesus said, you know, I was in prison and you visited me. I don't suppose many of us have visited a lot of people in prison, because we don't have that many friends in prison. I've been a few times and they always let me out again. And but, you know, every time you visit a brother or sister who cannot get out anymore, or even if you pick up the phone and say, how are you? I'm thinking about you. We're visiting them in prison. And Jesus said, inasmuch as you did unto one of the least of these, you're doing it to me. So we can lay up treasure in heaven in lots and lots of different ways. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 to 19, command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Tell them to be rich in good works and to be generous. Now, we don't get to heaven by good works. No. We get to heaven through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and asking him to forgive our sins and putting our faith in him. That's the only way we get to heaven. But we lay up treasure in heaven by doing good to others, especially to those that are less fortunate than ourselves, to those that are in need, to people. Jesus also talked, I think it's in Luke 6, about, he says, if you love your friends, even the heathens do that, but he says, love your enemies, do good to those that despitefully use you, and you will lay up treasure, something to that effect. I don't think those are the actual words that he used. You will receive your reward from your Father. See, as Christians, we are meant to be different. We are different from the world. And the difference, the only difference, or the main difference certainly, is because Jesus lives in us by his Spirit. Now, if Jesus is living in me by his Spirit, and I'm living in him, then it ought to be sort of second nature for me to do the kind of things that Jesus would have done. To be kind, to be gracious, to be considerate, to not treat the downtrodden or the sinner or somebody who's the outcast the way everybody else would do that. But to show kindness and gentleness and goodness. And by doing that, we will lay up treasure for ourselves in heaven. And one day, who knows when, could be today for some of us, could be tomorrow, it might be 20, 30 years, who knows? We just don't know. But one day, he'll come and he'll say, your place is ready now, come on home. And he'll take us to be with him in his Father's compound, his Father's dwelling place. And I don't know what my place is going to be like, but in one way, you know, I don't really care, because I want to see my Savior first of all, we used to sing, and I want to see all the friends who've gone before, and what the house is like. Well, it'll be fine, it'll suit me just fine. But heaven is a place, real place, that God has prepared, where God lives, where Christ lives, where the saints have gone, and a place that where he is preparing a place for you, for me, for each and every one of us in the Father's house. Amen. The Lord bless his word.